This is a form that I always say during the week, spelled Englandville. So it's something that like I really believe in. Like because I'm going traveling, and like I like the idea of England because like I think it brings me a lot of comfort to think that there's somebody looking over you. So just because there are always angels. And there are always angels making each past moon, watching over me gently, consenting of my every move. There is always an eye checking over me finally, watching over me silent, recognizing each beat inside me. There is always my own self, of whom I am the master, as powerful as any god, me I am known forever after.
You think of all the Easter, that was a lovely note to leave us on. And hope the angels to look after you in Australia. And next up, the open mic, Chris Foster is Eugene Lethal.
This one I wrote 20 years ago, and I take you to the trip in the Sydney. Lines came by on the road tomorrow day. I used the door, I used the eye, baptism over, and time for bonbon. Some for the family, and none for the stranger. Yes, the church may have locked its windows, some to give, some to take. Hen and men, with the rest of us, my future.
Thanks, Eugene. Next up, the open mic, Chris Foster of Anna Soccer.
Good evening. Long tonight, I think. I call this the player. My heart tears apart, continents exploding off this page. Trails of ink and pools of tears are all that I leave behind. Taking my mind is your biggest prize, but remember this, my body belongs to no one. I am not one of your puppets whose strings you can pull or a sounding board for your sick and twisted words. You unwillingly enrolled me into your army and forced me to fight in the war of words. Your enemy, the other man, died that you forced me to fight against, tried also to tie me up in a web of lies and profound deceit. Between you, there is no one I could call a true friend. And suddenly, as saddening as this is, you must face reality and end your battle of the mind. My strength no longer lies in what was once my protective body. The pushing and pulling that I have been subjected to has caused it to break. The weak lines between both sides have blurred, so too has the space between good and evil. None of us are pawns in your twisted game, so put down your pen and silence your tongue before you lose everything. I am no longer a pawn in your little game.
Thanks, Adam. Your cover is forever blown now, we know you're a boss. Next up, Chris Foster of Mount Harriet.
Hi, Adam.
This is called Letting Go of Things. What could have caused it, I asked, the death of my word machine? For in high-tech ignorance I bask, know nothing about the digital scene. Could be anything, says he. No wonder as ignorant I am. Could be like chaos theory, a parity flying into my am. The word is entropy, I think. Things running down with time. Now the telly's on the blink, my jalopy's way past its prime. The wiring has started to unravel, but I'm not sure what the hell. I'll try out of body travel and turn to telepathy as well.
And this one, I'm Billy Ransom, the crowd over.
Hi, this is called, your call is important to us. This may be recorded for purposes of training and quality control. Which of the following most closely describes the purpose of your call? Please choose from the following options. To learn more about our products and services, please say sales inquiry. To apply for an upgrade to your equipment, please say upgrade inquiry. To check the status of an existing order, please say order inquiry. To check the status of your bill or make a payment, please say bill inquiry. To report a fault with your equipment, please say fault report. To speak to one of our operators anytime, just say, I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. Please choose one of the following options. To learn more about our products and services, to apply for an upgrade to your call is important to us. Please hold while I try to connect you. Your call is important to us. Please hold while I try to connect you. Your call is important to us. Please hold while I try to connect you. Your call is, I'm sorry, it's not available at this time. Please choose among the following options. To learn more about our products and services, to apply for an upgrade to your... You are now in the fault report menu. To return to the main menu at any time, just say main menu. Please choose among the following options. If your fault relates to the next call, please say net call. If your fault relates to the net OSN, please say net OSN. If your fault relates to the net as is, please say net as is. If your fault relates, I'm sorry I didn't, please choose from, you are now in the emergency menu. Which is the following the most closely described nature of your emergency? If your emergency relates to 6-3 protocol, please say 6-3. If your emergency relates to the envoy protocol, please say envoy. To hear these options again, say options. I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. To hear these options again, say I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. You are still in the emergency menu. Speak now if you do not wish to receive this information.
They never understand. And it's well, I'm free bookie in Paradox.
This is called fan mail. We meet in the street and lower our gaze, seeming not to have seen each other too soon, unwilling to lay claim to the land we bought so wide it came between us. You still dishevel me with the gust that burst from your mouth between the girth of your words. I adjust my attire, hold down my hair, try my best to hear you through the hiss of bombshells and flap of bird wings feathers that have entered my room like the cold stain of history in a haunted house. You ask, how are you? And I know that you mean it. That you don't want the tailoring of truth. You don't want me to press play on the tape recorder. I want to tell you how it is with me. And maybe I would have in the days before history, in the days when we cast futures and not the past rappers in our juggler's hands. I want to tell you how it is with me, about describe the wooden house I dreamed of and saw the very next day, about the witch in my window who stands on the rooftop each night mixing medleys to make smoke without fire that won't quite reach over fire to make it to other side. About the questions we have never asked and why we have not asked them. Not that I want you now, betrayal and time have dampened that fire and denied you the right to excavate these bones of emotion and these bones of contention between us. You have gone to another, with no need of questions, no need of half-lit houses where shadows stretch longer than practical touches, no need of colour in a dream of black and white. And yet, when my mouth beats out a photocopy of fan mail, and another part of me crumbled with building so sound. Somehow he looked disappointed.
Thanks, Pete. That was lovely. And this one was the for Colin Scully.
This is called This League Addresses a Potential Board. Don't wake up the landlady, she's sleeping. Up the stairs with you in the bed. Show me there now, what's that book you're reading? So that's the company you're keeping. Fine bedrooms. Aren't they all dead? You can't sleep and know you're snoring. You're too smart and well you know. The classmates pass you by, they say you're boring. The times enjoy, make me a show. New passages for you to travel. Long lines of pages you have never read. Words of deadness for you to unravel. You like shovels on your sunken bed. Pride is no ingredient in your potion. You sleep while the book is lying scattered across the sheets. April sunlight enters, and in a single motion, you wake refreshed and swing the windows open. The room breathes in and listens to the street.
Thanks, Colin. That was a fine debut on the open mic. Next up, Chris Weiser, the owner of here.
He's made himself a part of the landscape, his knuckles finding home in the patch of his chin, the weight of his thinning head on his elbows. Face down, the hard landscape he should not be back.
Thank you, Fiona. And this was Shane Parrington, the card already.
There was an old man from Dundrum whose dentures were smashed on a plum. Though somewhat remiss, he shied from each kiss while gorging on dry chocolate crumb. But later, that man from Dundrum swapped molars for sticks of chewing gum. From that day to this, he speaks with a hiss through dentures, away of some. The Fairy Tree. It was always known as the Fairy Tree. It overlooked the branch along the road. All about the bark, the palest flower that cherished every shower of rain. The line swings free outside the barn. A broken roof gaped at the sky. Daybreak drowned the mackerel sky that ebbed and flowed above the tree, one thorny limb beyond the barn, away too late to take the other road, the gurgling stream alive with rain, the bank support along some flower. Too hectic here to mirror a flower with petals like the pale blue sky, a sky that lost its hue before the rain. Did the heavens split again at three, while lightning forked along the road, and whirled the sheets of this old barn? The hangar space within my barn had ample room for corn and flour that was carted up the coast of the road long years before we dished the sky. Would you prune back our family tree on that grey day of monsoon rain? Oh well you chose the Nylon rain. I got the axe of planks inside the barn and hacked limb and noose from the tree. That fairy tree with her ivy flower that binds and winds up towards the sky. The toll is far too heavy on this road. What took you west along the road? What demons spoke to end your reign? In every cloud your face now pans the sky. Did you clamber out the zincless barn or scramble up along the viney flower that violent day till we had three northeast of sky I sheltered in the road while you at three in storm and rain behind the barn forget me not my flower. There was an old man in Ringsend. This diary his missus had penned. A lover with style goes that extra mile. So far, I don't have to pretend. Title of this one. Marsh Coat. Again and again, faint but clear, clear as the luminous frost, clear as the starry heavens, the message repeated in hope. Repeated in hope, repeated in hope. Message repeated in hope. Much, much too late for too many, yet due to Morse code, hundreds of souls are plucked from the icy brink. From the icy brink, from the icy brink, plucked from the icy brink. Again, Marconi's newfangled device responds in disbelief to the rescue. In disbelief to the rescue. In disbelief to the rescue. Responds in disbelief to the rescue. But wireless history was made and quickly forgot for saving that small ship SS Mini Haha. Thank you.
You might have seen, when you start talking about ships, like the image of us here and I think the ship and a journey going somewhere. Yeah. And some of those fairy trees enjoyed that lot. Anish, he's not only a great baritone percussionist, he can say poems as well. Jerry Harrington Murphy.
This is my first time reading in public tonight. Come on.
You can read in the afternoon first.
I know. You can read in the library in the afternoon. This is the first tonight.
So what's your favourite passage of George?
This is based on Dorothy Wordsworth's diary. William used to lose a lot of stuff from her diary to great form. But he never actually acknowledged the fact that it was from Dorothy's diary. He was actually taking the information and a lot of the words, actually. This is called July the 1st, 1800, after Dorothy Wordsworth. I am acknowledging. I spent the morning making spare copies. In the early afternoon, Coleridge arrived carrying the second edition of Lyrical Ballads. William and Coleridge went to bathe in the lake to the sounds of much smashing and shouting. Afterwards, we sailed down to Loch Ridge, reading poems aloud on the water, letting the boat take its own course.
I'd like to welcome my good friend and fine singer and poet, Erin Lewis.
Is the person who has, is any of you who hasn't read yet, who is what? On the list? It would be John Lewis.
Then we've changed their minds.
Anybody expressing that?
Yeah. How are we doing, John? This is a Walt Whitman poem, The Stallion. The Stallion? The Stallion of the Eagles. Girding the river road, my fawning walk, my rest. Skyward in air, a sudden muffled sound. The Stallion of the Eagles, the rushing amorous conduct high in space together. The clinching interlocking claws, a living fierce gyrating wheel, four beating wings, two beaks, the swirling mass, height, grappling and tumbling, turning, clustering loops, straight downward falling, till over the river poised, between one a moment, lull a motionless, still balanced in the air, then the parting talons loosening upwards, again on slow, firm pinions, slanting their separate divorce plates. She, hers, he, his, pursuing. Somewhere, spring, somewhere, a black bear has just risen from sleep and is starting down the mountain. All night in the brisk and shallow restlessness of early spring, I think of him, his four black fists flicking the gravel, his tongue like a red fire touching the grass. The cold water, there is only one question, how to love this world. I think of him rising like a black and leafy ledge to sharpen his claws against the silence of the trees. Whatever else my life is, with its poems and its music and its glass cities, it is also this dazzling darkness coming down the mountain, breathing and tasting all day. I think of him, his white teeth, his worldlessness, the perfect love. That was by Mary Oliver. I went to a reggae gig in Dublin, I think it was in November, and I couldn't stand the music, and unfortunately I just wrote poetry on my mobile phone. It's kind of all, well, we'll give it a go anyway, we'll see. The flow of ages growing in my DNA, all those actions I've taken to grow with richness in the essence of our free souls. Text message poetry, the new element of free creativity. Awaken those textures, break out the smell, taste the spice of the moment. The echoes free awoken souls of art bellowing out in my stream. All my questions are answered. We recognize our stains in each free moment. Taken, took, on board, allowed to be true, the nature of form being expressed. And there are no more better thoughts. A new moment. A recognized essence of captured play. All the words in essence-free wills are awoken in the press of my numbers. A portable advice to give advice to the masses. What comes and goes in a configured experiment on right. What comes up as we give new sound to our heart of flow and what we are ever giving to the joy of our process. With deeper dreams. So as essences of redeemed people who are processing out our heart, our freedom of heart. I thought it was more productive. Yeah, me and Alan today, we were really concerned with the bees. And when I was a kid, I grew up in the northeast of England in a place called Gated, and grew up with my grandparents. And my granddad had bees. He's a beekeeper in a council estate in the northeast of England, and he was also the local, like the northeast swarm collector. So if there was a swarm in any particular area, they have to go out and gather the swarms. And I'm not going to go into any kind of political kind of ideas earlier, but bees are dying, and that's so dependent on it, so I think it's worth mentioning. I'm going to sing a song now. And this song was written by Sting, and it was about Maury the Tank.
Your granddad was also.
The song was written about the dance that they do in Chile, and it's a dance which is for two people, and I think it's called the Aguego, but I don't know the specific name for it in Spanish. It's a dance where women pin the pictures of their lost loved ones on their clothes, and it's a dance for two people, but they dance alone. And that was a great song about people coming to terms with injustice and suffering, and having a way to deal with that. And also, I'm trying to dedicate this to the sort of suffering and injustice going on in the world. I've sang it a couple of times, but it won't be going here. Why are all these women here dancing on their own? Why is there a sadness in their eyes? Why are all these soldiers here, their faces fixed like stone? I can't see what it is that they despise. Dancing with the missing, dancing with the dead, dancing with the invisible ones, anguishes unsaid. Dancing with their fathers, dancing with their sons, dancing with their husbands. They dance alone, they dance alone. It's the only form of protest they're allowed. I see the silent faces, they scream so loud. If they were to speak these words, they'd go missing too. Another woman on the torture table, what else can they do? Dancing with the missing, dancing with the dead, dancing with the invisible ones. Anguish is unsaid. Dancing with their fathers, dancing with their sons, dancing with their husbands. They dance alone, they dance alone. One day we'll dance on the graves, one day we'll sing our freedom, one day we'll laugh in our joy. And we'll dance, one day we'll dance on their graves, one day we'll sing our freedom, one day we'll laugh in our joy, and we'll dance. Hey, Mr. Pinochet, you stole a prison cross, foreign money that supports you, one day your money's gonna stop. No wages for your torturers, no budget for your guns. Can you think of your mother dancing with her invisible son? Dancing with the missing, dancing with the dead, dancing with invisible ones, anguish is unsaid. Dancing with their fathers, dancing with their sons, dancing with their husbands. They dance alone, they dance alone. One day we'll dance on the graves, one day we'll sing our freedom, one day we'll laugh in our joy, and we'll dance. One
One day we'll dance on that grave. One day we'll sing our freedom. One day we'll laugh in our joy. And we'll dance.
Where's the bug gone? To be or not to bumble? That is the question. When the last bee buzzes, flowers will cry, tears of nectar, never to be seed. Pollen will fall, find no seed. If there was no more frog, who would the princess frog? When the last bee buzzes, we're all stuck.
Thanks, Rosie. Yeah, the thing about the bees seems really serious. I think people just do things. Not sure where to start, but thanks for the point. Nish Gwalam, Paul Curtis, Alan City.
I have two short points. One is the longest poem in Irish, but I'm only going to read a bit of it. And the other is a sonnet in English, which I've been writing for a while. So I just get the longest poem, so I just brought a bit of it in. It's one of wolves. In just case, and I love wolves, and wolves are the most glorious creatures in the way, and so we'll just read a bit of it. Maybe not take it from the start. Is mission mother alta erwil buck nari, las nordidium sholen nail mavrida, las diestens nabaisa slon in mokri, on roitachoin and runchachoin is pille, veneath koir, veneath transfer lashti, then brainchen nachwil, a co ean deal erbit, na fear gal of uslo, on cover on nid, a circuch geeklich tinne in a bjochen bit. Squeezer and fear chalach, a fofoin tire, did the strip of school by the fierce and tearful, the chashmer to shing a dinner, glass the kale, squeezing the quin as motherly altar of father nail. Mission gower greeter, and hilach in raw huil, a cover of covet teary, or owit on red doing. It's mission mother and the manaman motley tire, ogun reined and overwacht and on the answer, aged in the course and quinne, the shindur and leaper, a shelligan cast over nowish, in ish is chwydydd. Mae fel sy'n ŵyl darab blost yn y sianol rôn, mae chri yn asnlaeth o'r cwypa o'n nhw o'r rhoen. Gael gach cysdeim ŵr gom siarad gach sir gwno, ddonyd o'n mynegyn o'r rhwmp ysyn o'n edyn y gael fôn. Y glwys o'r car yn snach o ddom yn stel o'r hyfrac, fel fe ddech bod yn ddiawn y heitio ys môl yn iach. Y geisio o'r cwmion o'r hynna yn y gwyhe, lwymnach nar, Fob rym o'n troed hwn gyrwch o'n dorf yn ach. Tiend o'n roth o lych i greu'ch y ffasiwn yn dwy'n ys ffordd i gyd yn lach yn so siôn o'r clobach o'n red dwy'n. Song i bwyd enw. This is a sonnet. We know it's 200 years since the birth of Charles Darwin. I had a monkey once when I lived in Africa which is called Darwin, but it's not about him. Charles Darwin himself, and there's a word in it, and I apologise for saying this because a lot of people's knowledge of biology is even worse than mine, which is saying something. But a trilobite, which occurs in the poem, is a small unicellular creature, one of the very first to crawl out from the mud. I mention that just because you might miss the punchline, which comes on along the way. Okay, yeah. After Darwin, I call it. He wasn't wrong, you know, the old master, although it wasn't so much coming down from the trees as crawling out of the sticky, mucky glob. It's what we did, slobbery jellies, very serious, not much laughter. Dinosaurs came long before us, those lumbering beasts, pals of Diplodocus who plodded along, while pterodactyls flew way on high with webbed wings over luscious rills of fronds and ferns on which the woolly mammoth did feast. After the savannah, we left Africa and spread throughout the world. We were Homo, it is said, erectus, not what you think, cheap shot, that's fine, but still produced genius, Socrates, Ree, Eisenstein. But for all that, and for all that, and for all your old shite, you are no more than an overdeveloped, complicated trilobite.
You mean Einstein or Eisenstein?
Eisenstein. Eisenstein. He was in there. Yes. He was in there. He was in there delivering it. And Ringy as well. That's okay if you're not.
Okay. And if do you have a point, Joe, or a fan? I'd like to welcome Joe.
Just a little further extract from a longer work. It's a set of letters, fictional letters written by a teacher in a classroom to a principal, and all kinds of bizarre things happen to her, and he's never available when he's needed, etc. And I hope you can make the bits with references to past letters and adventures you have. But anyway, see what you can make of it. Dear Principal, 9:55. It is now 9:55. I am with the 6th year woodwork class in Pre-Sat 6. I have to tell you that my nerves are still very jangly after the protracted episode in the last class with the melt and the mist. The first thing I did, I don't mind telling you, on arriving in this classroom, was to check it thoroughly to see if the little visitor was around. I know it would seem unlikely to most people that the mouse could get from the 2nd floor in the main school building to this outlying prefab in the schoolyard, but frankly, I have no difficulty imagining that mouse taking wing from an open window and sailing down out of the misty heights onto the roof here and finding an entrance into this room. I'm right. The mouse is here, as I write. The pupils say it could hardly be the same mouse that was in the main building during my previous class, but I feel sure it is the same one. I think this mouse may have deliberately fixed on me for some reason. I think this mouse might be a stalker. I don't know how much research has been done into the psychology of stalking, but I don't see any reason why it might not be as applicable to mice as well as men. I mean, there are so many other similarities, aren't there? You'd know much more about that than I would, though, wouldn't you, Principal? Anyway, what the mouse thinks he might gain by pursuing me in this fashion, I have no idea. But I can't see how he could benefit from an English lesson unless he's a very progressive rodent indeed. Well, anyway, my dear Principal, do you think you could possibly consider breaking the habit of a lifetime and make an appearance of your own in the classroom? I feel that you, as someone with considerable and recent experience at dangling pupils out of windows, would have very little difficulty dangling a mouse by its tail and swinging him well out of the educational arena. If you even came to the classroom, I feel it could help. Not that you would exude any air of authority over the mouse, of course not. But after the effects of the fire, you know, your burnt face and that extraordinary wig made from orangutan hair, I feel that your appearance would be so startling that it couldn't fail by its sheer horror to make an impression on this mouse, who I feel sure would disappear like lightning and not be seen again. He would almost certainly think that you were some kind of rat, which I suppose wouldn't be too far off the mark. Your appearance in the principal would also help to dispel a rumor going around the school among the pupils that St. Gatto has, in fact, no principal. It's so long since any of the pupils have seen you, not to mention the teachers, that the rumor is that you have died. Now, I don't want to be letting the children's hopes rise to unrealistic levels. So if you are still alive, please come to the classroom and let us put our hands on your wig and feel your burnt skin. Some classes already believing this rumor about you being dead are, I suspect, planning celebrations. They have no respect for the dead or pupils. None. And I know how bad that is. Until you realize what an act of hatred they have for the living. Anyway, I have done my bit to dampen down the excess of celebration. I have assured them that you are not dead, at least not in the usual sense. Your May.
I just now like to welcome Paul to the open mic.
Thanks, Donna. Along the lines of Roland and evolution, the Pied Prince. Thanks to the legacy master for these incredibly useless melodies and high-piercing notes. I've tried for a position in the trenches in bubonic 16, but they had grown too fond of the sounds of artillery and barely noticed the haunting lure I spent so long learning from you. After years of unemployment, a shaman told me that they have a cultural memory not unlike the one we've lost. So what once seemed sweet delection, they know now from birth, is a human deception. I thought I'd try my only skill out on the US troops in Baghdad, as their modern totemic tactics just reeked of rat and all that. But it had the opposite effect, and instead of leading them back into the Gulf, they took your simple city master and raised it like a flag. Thanks, master. I hate to say it, but I wish you'd been drowned with your ermine entourage, for now I spend my days composing genetically modified music. My flute has been turned to the sea, so these rats are more clever than you.